League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome to the Point Forward Podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinels, J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski. An over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Point Forward Podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. Happy New Year to you. It is 2023. Could it be the year the Milwaukee Bucks win their third NBA championship? Recent results would not maybe indicate as much, but we are here to break down some newsy stuff. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the podcast, and on the other line is Jim Ozarski, Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Jim, we've got a few things to discuss, we've got Bill Simmons, first of all, will be mentioned on this podcast. Mark Lazary, co-owner of the Milwaukee Bucks, he will be mentioned on this podcast. Some buzz that his ownership stake might be up for sale at some point in the not-too-distant future, and we are going to talk about all of that. Right now, it's a little bit of a crisis is too strong, but this is a tough moment for the Milwaukee Bucks right now. They have lost 5 of 6. Their only win was against a Minnesota Timberwolves team missing two of its superstars and in kind of its own form of disarray right now. They have not played very well. Their game January 1st against Washington was a complete blowout, but again, the Bucks' three best players were missing, which is not an uncommon occurrence this year. Giannis, particularly Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday. Holiday has missed the last couple games with a non-COVID illness. Chris Middleton has missed a boatload of games now. We're getting closer and closer to calling it kind of just a lost injury year for Chris Middleton, even though it is just knee soreness. So a lot going on. The team cannot shoot. They are really struggling shooting the basketball. They had one great half against Minnesota in kind of a sea of struggles. And so, Jim, we're going to talk about all that. We'll start, though, just right off the bat in the same way that we have discussed this issue before. The Bucks are scuffling, and that might not be anything in the big picture, or it might be an indication of who they are and where we're headed. So, again, I'll take your temperature on how concerned you are, where the red flags are to you. Where are you at right now after seeing yet another week of kind of subpar basketball from the Milwaukee Bucks?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, they got off the schneid and won a, you know, broke the losing streak at 4. And then, you know, Giannis is out with left knee soreness and, you know, they lose sort of an uninspired effort to a degree against Washington, on New Year's Day. And so, JR, they're 14-13 since starting 9-0. They've looked every part of a 500 team. And, you know, that's with Giannis putting up historic numbers, quite literally in the NBA, career numbers as far as he's concerned. But it's hard, JR, because on one hand, when in the NBA, when you build a roster around three stars, if two of them are not playing, or frankly, if one of them is not playing when you're going head to head with similarly talented teams, you're more often than not going to lose, in my opinion. Like the Giannis, Chris, and Drew take up 65% of the salary cap or of their salaries. I know they're in the tax. So that means roster spots 4 to 17 are 35% of your money. And that's just how it's distributed. Bobby Portis. And we've talked about this. Brooke Lopez, former All-Star, DPOY candidate this year. Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton, you know, better than maybe others similar, but like in the context of the teams, JR, like you're not going to beat Boston if two of your three aren't there. And Drew played in Boston, but guess what? After that, he's been out with this illness, and Mike Budenholzer admitted that some of these guys are sick while they're playing and then get to a point that they can't play. And so now we wonder, like, has Drew Holiday really been basically ill since the middle of December? And he was just trying to fight through it because Chris got hurt again. So I know it's tough in the social media aspect, JR, to try to contextualize that or try to, you know, explain that. And maybe we're doing it here on this podcast. And at some point, Jared, I'm probably going to have to write this at jsonline.com just to lay it out, because the team says we don't want to make excuses, but I'm sort of pointing to that these are reasons. Like, if Chris Middleton is not healthy and Drew Holiday is not healthy, like, they're going to have a hard time beating teams for as great as Giannis is. So I don't know if that's a satisfactory answer, JR. I can't push a panic button because it's not April, but they are what they are. And that's been a 500 team without their best players being available.
Yeah, so yes, the 500 team aspect and the fact that they're playing poorly right now, that's you can sort of describe that as just a rut and maybe a protracted rut, but still, when you don't have your best players, this part of the season may ultimately not matter in the big grand scheme of things. But there are a couple things that I think could potentially be extrapolated all the way into the postseason, which would be both major concerns. And one of them is a little bit of a mystery, and that's the injury situation, where we keep hearing Chris Middleton isn't, you know, you wrote about this at jsonline.com. He didn't have a setback, but he's not seeing the floor. You know, the big three have played in a grand total of 5 games together all season. And here we are in the second half, in the 2023 portion of the season. And that's getting a little alarming. And yeah, illness is one of those things that you can't really explain or describe or say how it's going to affect a person. But, you know, at some point you look at all this stuff piling up and you think, is this, can we realistically expect this Bucks team to be healthy in April? And again, there's mystery there, but you know, the more data to the contrary, the more you start to wonder. And then there is, on top of that, the shooting aspect, the fact that this team cannot shoot the basketball. And there are reasons for that too. Joe Ingles, we see, is finally maybe shaking off some of that rust that came with his ACL recovery. He has a really good half against Minnesota. You know, Bobby Portis has been unable to hit the threes like he was last year, but he has made himself a better player in other ways. But outside of that, no one is shooting the basketball well. You know, maybe Grayson Allen is, or, you know, there are pockets here and there, but they have to shoot better, or they will not make it to the Eastern Conference Finals or beyond. And I don't know, at some point, again, like you said, they are who they are. Like, at some point, you can't necessarily expect it to get markedly better, maybe a little better, but I don't know if either one of those things has particularly caught your attention as, you know, maybe the Bucks just aren't going to be that good. I do think it's too early to say that stuff, but honestly, I can see why people are starting to get really antsy and uncomfortable, because at some point you got to see a turnaround in one or both of those categories. And you know, it's been quite a while now, and I'm not sure we're seeing it yet. And at some point you're like, maybe we're not going to see it. The Bucks are just gonna have to scratch their way to wins against the better teams when you get into the playoffs. I don't know. What do you think about what I'm throwing out here?
Yeah, it's okay. There's two things there. I mean, there's the shooting. You know, they're 21st in the league in three-point shooting, 34%. You know, that's the bottom third of the league and trending downward. You know, the Washington game on January 1st was the fifth time in the last 11 games they've shot under 30%, which is, like, it doesn't make sense at this point. You'd think there'd be a little more variance and a little more, you know, oh, they made 40, like, not even, we're not even talking about like a 49% night. Like, they're not, I mean, there's some of these where they're barely league average. And that's just sort of weird. Cause, like, again, that's the one thing in basketball I think relates to baseball, JR, with like sample size, and career averages. Like, it didn't make sense to me that Grayson Allen was 3-for-14 from 3-point line against Chicago. Like, it hasn't made sense to me that Brook Lopez missed 10 straight threes over 4 games. You know, Pat Connaughton had a hot stretch before Christmas making 50%, and now he's back down to he can't make anything. And so I guess that's where John Horst has to look at it in the next month. It's a little too early still. I know we've batted around the Jay Crowder thing a few times, and you'll notice that smoke has really kind of died down. More evaporated, whatever the right analogy is. But like, if they're still shooting 32% and Chris Middleton is still iffy, that changes the calculus. Cause it's like, well, okay, we've now played 40 games, 50 games and no one is making threes. So does that change what our emphasis is, you know, at the trade deadline? That I don't know. Now, JF, to your point of the playoffs and a longer term, I think this all hinges on, again, your big three. Like if Chris Middleton, so the latest update as we record this, he did not practice on Monday, January 2nd. He did some individual work. So he has not been completely shut down. So it's not akin to Brook Lopez and the back soreness that became back surgery. Like Chris is still active. But Mike Budenholzer basically ruled him out like this back to back. So they play Washington and then back to back against Toronto in Toronto. Chris is not playing in those games. So now we're kicking it ahead and we're getting to 4 weeks. You know, he said he doesn't want to come back and the team doesn't want him to come back and then he's out again. So is he now going to be out till February? I don't know. And that's, and JR, they may be a 500 team through February then. But if he comes back and he's good to go with Drew, you know, Drew Holiday, they can win the East. So it's that hard. And even as the five seed, you know what I mean? So like it's at this point, I get what you're saying. I think without their stars, it's Giannis and some role players who can be good. Once they get the stars, they can win the NBA Finals. It's just until we have more clarity on Chris Middleton and on, you know, it's a medical issue. This is not a team that leaks medical stuff, JR. We've known this. Like the Brook Lopez, remember that? Brook Lopez suddenly, soreness. Oh, Brook Lopez had back surgery. It was a release from the team on like an afternoon in December. You know what I mean? So like on one hand, I get that's frustrating for folks, but on the other hand, that's the way they do things. And so until Chris is either ruled out or is back, I think this is kind of the gray area Bucks and Bucks fans have to exist in.
All right, I'm going to call a little bit of an audible. We usually save our special segments to the end, but I'm going to move this one up because it ties into what we're talking about. This is a segment that debuted a few weeks back. It's called What You Say. And for this, we go to Bill Simmons. Bill Simmons, the renowned basketball podcaster, a little polarizing, a little sometimes controversial, always annoying, if you ask me. The Boston homerism is not something I enjoy quite as much as I know other people have grown accustomed to. But he said something on his podcast, his very, very popular sports podcast, primarily an NFL episode, actually. It was kind of hard to find this clip. But basically, he spent very little time unpacking this, but he threw out the line that the Bucks have chemistry issues, that's what he's hearing, and that there's some stories floating around about them, that things are in a little bit of disarray, that they're a mess. Bill Simmons isn't, obviously, he's not Milwaukee-based or anything, but he gets a little bit of cachet having pointed out something that we'll, again, talk about a little bit later in this podcast, a while back, that Mark Lazary might be interested in selling his stake of the Milwaukee Bucks, and that gained a little bit more steam this past week when Mark Stein had a big report about that as well. And again, we'll talk about that in a minute, but that tells me a little, that Bill Simmons at least knows a little bit about what's going on with the Milwaukee Bucks. And him saying that, kind of off the cuff, may indicate something deeper. It might just be a guy blowing smoke. It might just be, I don't know, he heard one thing from one guy and, you know, again, spent very little time unpacking it. But he's a national voice and some people would pay attention to that. I don't know what you make of that. I don't know if that's just completely dismiss category or if there's something to that. You know, like they've lost 7 of 11 or whatever it is. So I could see why there's discontent because losing teams always have discontent when they're in a losing rut or whatever it is. But what do you make of that? Is there anything people should read into that?
Look, it's interesting and it's a great segue, JR, from what we were just talking about. I mean, this has been a team, yes, that's lost 4 or 5, 7 of 11 or whatever that is, and 500 team since November 7th, quite frankly. So 2 months. These guys are not used to that. Like no one who has spent any time in Milwaukee in the last 5 years, and whether they've left and come back like George Hill and Wesley Matthews, whether they're, you know, even a guy like Jordan Wara, you know, who's only been here the last 3 years. this is not something this team and these players have experienced. Even Joe Ingles, coming from Utah, like they didn't. I mean, he even says, like, I'm sure we had a 500 month or two, but like his Utah teams the last handful of years were some of the best in the West, right? And if you look at the, you know, Marjon Beauchamp didn't play X amount of games. Jordan Ware didn't play X amount of games. Wesley Matthews has sat for 2-3 games. George Hill didn't play for 4 games in a row. You know, guys' minutes have been different. Their starting roles have been different. And I guess where I'm going with that, JR, is they're not happy that they're a 500 team. Like, I've been in the locker room after some of these games. They're not thrilled. Like, no one in that locker, and maybe Bucks fans will take some solace in this, but, like, no one's been in a good mood. you know what I mean? Like, no one's out there, like, just sort of brushing off losses in the sense of, whatever. Like, but what I will say is they're veteran enough, and you have enough guys who have either been on this team and won a championship, or they've gone to an Eastern Conference Finals, or if you're in the case of George Hill, you've been to a finals with another team. Like, they know where they want to go. And so they keep it in a context of that. But yeah, in Chicago, Wesley Matthews was ticked off. And in the quote in that story that I wrote, like, it's pretty clear, you know, Giannis not thrilled, you know, these last few games. Pat Connaughton not thrilled. Brooke Lopez not happy. And so how do you, I guess, as a day-to-day beat guy, JR, like, it's not accurate for me to say, just sort of like piecemeal that together in like social media posts, to be like, oh, this player was a little surly. Because, yeah, they had lost 4 in a row and 5 and 6. And, like, because they're human and are not happy with losing games. And they've been average for whatever reasons. Legitimate, if fans don't feel illness is not legitimate, or injury or not. You know what I mean, JR? So, like, I'm not going to discount, like, whoever talks to Bill Simmons. Because, you know, you don't know, like, that's how they feel, like, whoever told that to him, firsthand account, secondhand account, whatever it may be. I guess I view it as a bunch of guys who have played 500 basketball for 2 months and aren't, and like, hate it. You know what I mean? So, you know, I think there's a natural part of just, you know, they're not playing great. And I feel like, to you know, I can't right now be like, oh, there's like these massive chemistry, like, I guess I don't buy that, in the sense of like these guys all know each other and like have been together. And I don't think John Horst and Mike Budenholzer would have brought guys back if they didn't mesh. Does that make sense? Like, Wes, Serge, yeah. Javon Carter, like, think about your guy, Jordan Ware. Think about all the guys who had to re-sign to start this year, right? Bobby Portis was technically a free agent. Like, that's, I don't buy, like, this team that matters too much to them to be like, oh, we'll take these dudes back, even though they didn't like one or didn't get, like, that. That doesn't track with me either. I think it's more of they just haven't won the way they have, and they're kind of ticked off about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think if you unpack that sentiment and it's revealed that maybe the big three are unhappy with something. I mean, I don't know, like, maybe Giannis, who's been superhuman through all of this and continues to post insanity numbers, you know, that he's frustrated that the supporting guys aren't doing that well, or if people are getting upset, Bucks personnel getting upset that Chris Middleton can't seem to get his way back to the floor. I could see that being a significant issue. Beyond that, I don't know. Like, you know,
those guys aren't playing. Like, I don't, you know, Jrue Holiday's ill and has been sick for the better part of December. Like, if And on his moment, Drew's probably like, man, I'm not, I don't like, not only do I physically not feel well, but I just like feel like crap. Like, this is bad. You know what I mean? So I guess as a beat writer, JR, like, it's, I don't really like traffic in such innuendo or rumor on these podcasts and social media, because it's just like, that's not what I'm here for. But I guess what I hope this answer provided was maybe a little bit of context to, someone who's not in the city or not around the team every day, who makes a couple calls or shoots a couple texts. Not that that's wrong, but maybe hopefully this builds a little bit of context to, yeah, like, you know, they keep the big picture in mind, but it doesn't mean that doesn't suck. that they're not winning. So hopefully, like, that shows that, like, both can be true, but it's not like dysfunction, because the NBA has plenty of dysfunction. And as we record this, as we talk, JR, like, I don't see that. I'm in that locker room twice a day, every day. And it's just, I don't see that. I don't feel that. I don't hear that.
Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton did not practice with the team on Monday. It's expected that it doesn't sound promising that Drew will play Wednesday, or Tuesday, I should say, when the Bucks rematch with the Washington Wizards. Coach Mike Budenholzer indicating that Drew Holiday, or I should say Chris Middleton, will be out for the next two games, both that Tuesday game and Wednesday in Toronto when they do the back-to-back. So it's not necessarily going to get better. The standings tightening up a little bit. The Bucks are in third place now behind the Nets. Cavaliers right there, chomping at the bit to jump past them. So it's a little bit of a downhill spiral, Jim. I think, you know, some of the other sentiment, maybe if we stay just a little bit longer talking about sort of the online discourse, I think for the first time it's dawning maybe on people, maybe who follow the Bucks and maybe who don't, that, you know, this is a really old team. And if things go south, they could go south in a hurry. You know, if Chris Middleton just can't get healthy, you know, he's past age 30 now, he's 31 years old, you could see it getting to, because if Chris Middleton isn't the one to come back and be better, they don't have a plan B. They don't have somebody in the pipeline who's going to be the next Chris Middleton. I mean, even as optimistic as you might be about Marjan Beauchamp, you know, we'd be a couple years away from even coming close to realizing that level of potential. If Drew Holiday isn't available, they don't have a plan B. And then you've got Brook Lopez, Joe Ingles, and guys who are just getting up there, Pat Connaughton, George Hill. Probably unfair of me to throw Connaughton in there, but, like, you know, this isn't a team that's got young, promising guys who are going to fill the void. They don't have a lot of draft picks in their future. So if this does go sideways, and again, we're talking about 11 games in the middle of a season, I'm not suggesting that's definitively where we're heading, but if it does, you could see it going bad in a hurry. And that would certainly be a challenge for John Horst down the road. But I don't know. Are you seeing that a little bit too? Like, you know, after all, they're an aging team, and there is a chance their window has moved closer to being closed, even though I still think this is a championship caliber team, and I know you do too, but there is a chance that this goes downhill fast if these injuries don't heal up, right?
Look, I mean, this is all tied to Chris Middleton, you know, being healthy and Drew Holiday and Giannis being healthy in the playoffs. Like, and I don't think, you know, whatever knee injury Chris suffered when he came back to play is age related. I think that's more bad luck. Like, to me, it's like him slipping on the wet spot last year in the playoffs. Like, that's just bad luck. That had nothing to do with the fact that Chris was a decade in the league. You know, now to your point, though, of the older part of the roster, Mike Budenholzer has admitted that when George Hill doesn't play for four games in a row and Wesley Matthews doesn't play, like, at all for two games here and a game there and two games here, like, part of that is Mike Budenholzer wants George Hill and Wesley Matthews to be ready to play hard minutes against Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Kevin Durant and Donovan Mitchell in June and May, not against, you know, Rui Hachimura on January 3rd. So
yes,
if you look at it that way, those guys have not been injured. Like, George Hill had an illness. Wesley Matthews was in the health and safety protocol. You know, so, like, they're dealing with that. And I mean, that's so weird, JR. Like, they're up to 23 games missed as we record this with illness and health and safety since Thanksgiving. It's still ongoing. Like, I don't know what's going on in that locker room with these guys or whatever, but Budenholz has even admitted, he's like, this is kind of a problem, like, in terms of just guys functioning. But like, Brook Lopez hasn't looked any worse for wear. Giannis looks fine when Drew's not been ill. He looks like an all-star. So I get what you're saying. I think it's more of like, they're like, Mike Budenholzer is like managing that. And to like the actual, it, like, think about it. Like, Chris Middleton's the only like in-season injury. Like, Pat Connaughton suffered the calf in camp, and that was a soft tissue that was extrapolated, right? Joe Ingles was coming off ACL surgery, and he's back, you know, in 11 months as opposed to 12 or 13. So injury-wise, like, they've been pretty kind of fortunate. It's just that the illness has really – and then it's Chris Middleton. So I get what you're saying, but I think they're trying to be cognizant of that, even if they're playing shorthanded, because, like, Wesley Matthews didn't play against Washington. It was just, you know what? But Mike Budenholzer was like, no, you know, Marjan Beauchamp's going to play 25 minutes. AJ Green's going to play 20 minutes. And that's just kind of where they're at right now.
All right, back to Bill Simmons for a second to talk about this Mark Lazary stuff. Again, Simmons mentioned this several months ago, but Mark Stein, NBA reporter, really gave it kind of a new heartbeat when he reported earlier this week that, yeah, Mark Lazary might be looking to get out of his ownership stake of the Milwaukee Bucks. He's one of the two main co-owners that everybody knows. Mark Lazary, Wes Edens being the other. And you've got Jamie Dimon in there as well. Oh, man, I'm already drawing a blank. I had all these names lined up, and now the fourth guy. Who am I forgetting? The other guy who's
Vesatelli, who is the, yes.
Mike Vesatelli. That would be a big deal. I mean, Mark Lazary, more than just being, you know, one of the main owners, he's fairly visible. You know, his presence at the NBA All-Star Celebrity Games, if nothing else, indicates that he is a pretty big basketball fan. He's a talkative chap who is definitely been part of the Bucks fabric here since he took over as an owner, one of the buyers from Herb Cole. So I guess, like, I realize there's a lot of, you know, we don't know the depth of the veracity of all this and a timeline or anything like that. But I'd be curious to know how this would impact the Bucks on the court. What the tangible issues might be that the average fan would be concerned about if, in fact, this team, because presumably with other owners still in place, it's not like there's a threat that the Bucks are going to relocate or just have a massive culture change or anything, but I suppose there could be some ripples. So what things should Bucks fans be concerned about when they hear news like this?
Yeah. So, real quick, like, again, yeah, there's some reporting on it. You know, look, Mark Lazary, you're right. He is the most public of the owners, in terms of, like, he talks, he's on CNBC, he does, you know, business school sit downs. And look, all I'll say about the reporting is that just in November, or maybe it was late October, he had a discussion, at Wharton School of Business. And basically, and he admitted, not basically, he admitted that we could pay $550 million and eventually flip it, meaning the franchise. Like, when he bought the team, the thought was TV revenue comes in, we're going to sell this for $1 billion. That's what Mark Lazary does. That's his job. Like, that's how he's a billionaire. And then what he said was, wow, like, the TV rights really shot up and we didn't want to sell it. So now he says the value is $2 billion to $2.5 billion. Well, Phoenix Suns just sold on a $4 billion valuation. I think it's interesting that it's floating out there. I don't think it's incorrect to think that if, whether it be Wes Edens, his partner, who says, I will now buy you out, or if it was some other party who says, I will pay you $1 billion, like, off your, you know, $250 million investment, like, that's what he does, right? So I want to say, like, Like, I don't think Bucks fans should hear that and think something changed other than NBA is entering a new round of media rights and negotiations that Mark, it's been reported, Adam Silver is looking, I think, for $75 billion. So, look, that kind of makes sense. Now, let's, to your point, JR, trickle down. Mark Lazary is currently the governor of the Bucks. What does that mean? That means when it's time for the league to vote on something, he's the one who votes. His time is coming up. His five-year term is ending in the next year or so. So, again, timing kind of works here. You know, I don't know if he has the final say in adding salary because, again, we talk about this with PJ Tucker. Like, the Bucks are so far into the tax right now that, you know, signing a player for a dollar means you're paying $3.5 million. So, you know, and they're dangerously close to the repeater tax going into next year. So now that becomes an escalating thing. Will they make a move to add salary? I think they will. I don't believe John Horst is going to be hamstrung by that. So, but I don't know that for a fact. So I don't know where this falls in that, Jaron. I think that's what you're wondering about. Like, does this affect the team in that way? Because, again, Mark Lazary is the governor, but Wes Edens and Jamie Dimon, like, there's other money in the pot. And Wes Edens said at Media Day, this is what we signed up for with Giannis and the big three. If you want to win championships in the NBA, there's a literal tax to pay. So I don't feel like they're going to be not willing to make a move because there's sort of these reportings or maybe someone called Mark or Mark, you know, I don't think that's going to directly impact day-to-day basketball in the calendar year of 2020 or this season of 2022-23. And we'll just have to see obviously what happens down the line. But I think going forward, like, Bucks fans shouldn't be surprised, but also I don't think they should be concerned. Like, when Herb Cole was selling the team and there was no arena and the NBA is pushing for an arena and, oh, Seattle's out there or Vegas is out there. Like, I don't think that's where this is, you know, it's a way, way different ownership conversation as it was say 5-6 years ago.
Bucks again will face Washington at Pfizer Forum on Tuesday night, Wednesday in Toronto, Friday back at home against the Charlotte Hornets before kicking off next week with a Monday night game in the Garden against the New York Knicks. Jim, I don't know if there's much more we haven't covered here. There's kind of in the middle of the season, so the storylines are kind of limited to the external noise at this point. But anything else that you want to throw in here before I let you go?
Yeah, I'll tease this a little bit. This week, I'm going to write about Giannis Antetokounmpo just doing crazy things, even in context for his own career. He's scoring at a rate that he's never scored at. Part of it is there's no Chris Middleton. There's no Jrue Holiday. So there are more possessions, more baskets to score, but it doesn't mean he hasn't done it. And consecutive 40-25 games hasn't been done since 1966. He joins Elgin Baylor, Wilt Chamberlain. Like, when you do that, that's still notable. I'll tease that. I'll have that upcoming here and to kind of put what Giannis has been doing in some broader context and what he had to say about kind of the load he's carrying and what he's doing as well. So, yeah, keep an eye out at jsonline.com. And again, Happy New Year to our listeners. Thank you for reading, subscribing. Go to jsonline.com/deal. We have a New Year's offer that if you sign up now, I believe it'll take you through what could be another championship run. So I definitely urge you to check that out if you haven't subscribed to us already.
I like to check out the Basketball Reference MVP tracker every so often. And right now, Giannis fourth in the MVP rankings. I think he's probably fallen off a little bit, somewhat ironically, because his numbers are incredible. He's doing incredible, incredible things. And Luka, who went off for 60-20-10 in a historic performance the other night, he is still getting a lot of buzz. But he's only second in this chart. And Nikola Jokic, 50% chance, according to Basketball Reference's metrics, of winning the MVP. Of course, these metrics actually move around quite a bit on a game-to-game basis, so don't feel like 50% is an overwhelming, you know, certainty or anything along those lines. But Jokic, Doncic, maybe Joel Embiid again in there, and Tatum we've talked about before. So a lot of candidates for that, and I know that conversation will continue and throughout the course of the season and potentially heat up. I think, though, if the Bucks, you know, get out of this rut, and Giannis is still putting up some of these numbers, I think we're going to revisit this conversation. I think he's going to be back in that MVP discussion, discourse, by the end of the year. Otherwise, we might see three in a row for Nikola Jokic, though. That'd be pretty crazy. All right, Jim, I appreciate you. We will be chatting again next week. Thanks for joining us, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, buddy.
Find everything Jim has at jsonline.com. The Point Forward Podcast cannot be found in all the usual places. Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Holler at us if you'd like. You can let us know what you think. I'm at JR Radcliffe on Twitter. He's at Jim Ozarski. Is it Jim _ Ozarski? I always forget.
Oh, no. We're all one word, baby.
Yeah, baby.
All
no
19 consonants here. And vowels and all that stuff.
If you can figure out how to spell it, you can easily find Jim Ozarski on Twitter and let us know what you think. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward Podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.